Everyone, and welcome back to Simply Unprofessional. My name is Lex, and it's just me today. Webby and the gang are dealing with some unfortunate snow and weather, so they're having some power issues. Hopefully that all gets restored soon, but in the meantime, you're stuck with me. Today I actually have a topic that I thoroughly enjoy, and it's something that I can hopefully talk about for a long time. We're gonna go a little bit into kind of like the Alexa archives, and we're gonna revisit an embarrassing memory from my history and try to find some redemption. But before we even get into that, I want to say a very happy Autism Acceptance Month to everyone. I myself is what you would call a peer review autistic. Check the boxes, I pass the RADS-R test. The only thing I haven't done is do a official assessment, but let's be real, the only thing stopping me there is the money because it's stupidly expensive. But I do want to point out that if you think that you're autistic, go ahead and take the RADS-R test. It's been proven to be effective and accurate in self-assessing autism, and then you can always take those results to a professional to do a full-scale assessment to meet your needs, especially if you need accommodations at work or at school. You definitely need a professional help you get assessed, but if you're really just doing it to learn more about yourself and figure out ways to accommodate yourself, absolutely do it. I will say that doing the assessment and kind of realizing this about myself has made such a difference. I've known for about a year now, and it truly, truly has made a difference. And just kind of understanding and giving myself a little bit of peace and grace, because I definitely beat myself up about the way that I do things because I always felt like they were wrong to other people. It's just such a relief once you realize it's like, no, I'm totally normal. Like, this is legitimate. This is just completely explaining why I felt so, I guess, not unnormal. I don't even know how to put it. It's just, it's so hard to explain. But it's just one of those things that, like, I felt a relief now that I've kind of figured that out about me, and I can just accommodate myself and give myself the kind of the tools that I need to kind of just, you know, I get overwhelmed pretty badly at, like, the grocery store. I hate when there's too many people around. I hate when it's too loud. Like, it feels like I can't breathe and I can't think. And it's not even just, like, claustrophobia. It's just, I kind of shut down and I hate it. But I realized that kind of going at different times where it's going to be less crowded, maybe going before the church lets out and all the people are at the shop, right? Or even, like, wearing, like, earplugs at derby games. Things like that have helped so much, kind of like help me focus and just not shut down when I can't shut down. Like, there are times where I have like peace at home where I can just walk away and I can shut down and I can go lay down and I can just kind of like unplug from the world for as long as I need until I'm ready to get back to it. But then the times that I just can't do that, I have the tools to help me in that situation. And it has made all the difference. So before I go off too far on this, because I absolutely will, you know, just if you think you might be autistic, just go ahead and take an assessment. And even if you don't, like, you are more than welcome to make the adjustments in your life if they benefit you, because why not? I mean, it's your life. You might as well, you know, help yourself. So that's my whole spiel on the thing. But in a slightly related topic, I do want to talk about a time before I did my own assessments, before I did my own research, and before I found this out about myself, where I really, really wish I knew in that moment. because this is kind of an embarrassing story. Okay, so back in college, I was in a, I don't even think it was like a communications class. It was basically this class that you took that was called, it was like Introduction or Welcome to Insert Name of University Here. And basically what that course did, it was kind of useless, but it taught you about the different things on campus, I guess you could say. It basically taught you how to be a college student in an idealized world. So it told you, it did tell me useful things. Like we did go to the library. We did learn how to use the library catalog system, which I don't even know if they do that anymore. They probably still do, but nobody probably uses it. They taught us, this is so, so dumb. They taught us how to effectively use a search engine, which maybe that's also dating me. I don't know. I went, and honestly, it probably shouldn't even date me because I went to college in, I took this class in 2011. So it wasn't even like crazy long ago. Like I definitely should have known how to use a search engine before that. And I definitely did. Like I knew how to do search terms and whatever, but, and like doing an asterisk if you want to like continue the phrase and see what it comes up with, like stuff like that, that kind of exists in like other systems that I use day to day for work. Anyways, I digress. The point of the story is that that class took a bunch of important things that you should know how to do in college and basically put it all in one class. But it's also things that you absolutely should have learned in high school. Like, the class also, like, a big portion of the class was, like, how to do research and how to just kind of, like, navigate with a map and, like, silly things. The big capstone of that class, though, was how to do a presentation. And I remember the teacher pointed out a bunch of things like, try not to get tripped up. And if you make a mistake on your slide, just kind of move past it and pretend that it didn't happen. And like, just kind of like silly things about like, how to, I don't know, multitask by like, moving forward to presentation, not forgetting what to say, but also not having your presentation be all words and basically your script. So it was partially how to build a presentation and then how to talk through the presentation. And all of this culminated in every single person in this class of like 32 having to do a 10-minute long presentation on a topic. Now that I know that I'm autistic, that was easy. And I knew it was easy going into it. I was like, oh, I could talk about so many things for 10 minutes. I could talk about it for an hour. I could literally talk nonstop about a topic. Like, that was not going to be a problem for me. The problem was picking a specific interest that might interest other people. And I did not do that well. But I don't even think that that was the problem. I think the problem is that it's not even, I guess it's not even a problem. This was something that I realize now was absolutely one of my special interests. So I was going to talk about it nonstop. I picked this thing because I knew I could talk about it nonstop. So we're all doing our presentations, and genuinely, I could not tell you what a single one of my other classmates talked about. I couldn't. Because, I mean, let's be real. They were 10-minute long presentations on topics no one else was interested in. But that's the thing. Like, that's the thing about the presentations. We didn't have to be interested. It was just a matter of us being able to do a presentation for 10 minutes uninterrupted and not ending too early. Now, everybody did that really well. So I can't remember what each of the presentations were. But what I can remember is nobody went severely over time and everyone completed their presentations. Except for me. I made the unfortunate mistake of making a presentation that was way too long because I underestimated how long 10 minutes actually is. As it turns out, I want to say I maybe got like 9 slides into a 32 slide presentation. Actually, at that point, it was probably a 30 slide presentation. Yeah, I was the only person who got the warning from the professor that I was out of time and I was not done with my presentation. So I had to quickly go and abridge my presentation. But the thing is, the way that I structured the presentation is I was basically talking about a video game, but I was talking about a video game that had 30 installments, and the entire presentation was doing quick synopsises of each of the games and pointing out which ones were my favorite and why. I didn't think that that was going to be more than 8 minutes. Unfortunately, it was closer to 20 minutes. And I just, in hindsight now, like, I remember being embarrassed at that moment. I remember thinking, like, great, like, I'm the silly person who got, like, way too into my presentation. And now, like, I've embarrassed myself in front of this class. But also, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember a single other presentation in the class. So chances are nobody else remembered my presentation either. I kind of going back to the whole wishing I knew that I was autistic before I did that presentation, I think if I had known, I would have known where to pull back. I would have had at least some sort of unconscious awareness that I should maybe tone it down a little bit, because I know that I become a little much when I talk about the things I'm very excited about. I know that now, and I know why that is. And I also, like, not to get, like, super psychology related and how to talk about, like, all the ways that all basically, like, familial and generational trauma, not to get all up there on that. My family definitely, like, this thought never crossed their mind. Like, I mean, I know now that my sisters are neurodivergent as well. But yeah, the whole, like, I was told to shut up a lot as a kid, and not just because I was talking too much. I was specifically told all the time that nobody cared, which was something that I did try to work through on therapy, but you know, it is what it is. But I know now why they didn't care as much as I cared. So yeah. Anyways, kind of back to school. So yeah, the point of that presentation was pretty much just to teach us what 10 minutes was like talking about and building a presentation to fit that time. I mean, everyone pretty much passed, because if you did the presentation, you passed. I definitely could have done better because I just don't really have like a good awareness of how long things take, if that makes any sense. But I mean, I guess that's also apparent when it comes to like streaming and making videos and stuff like that, because I will literally, like, I can just talk nonstop for like 2 hours about literally anything. Like, my streams tend to be about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on what I'm doing or pretty much what my mood is that day. So, I mean, it was kind of going to be a no-brainer for me to talk for 10 minutes about anything. That said, I wasn't streaming at that point. I wasn't even making content at that point. I was literally just a student. But I feel like it was really foreshadowing and highlighting my skills in that moment about just being able to talk about nothing for hours. But anyways, talking about nothing for hours now, what I wanted to talk about is actually that presentation, because that presentation was about a game series that I really love and I still love to this day. And I think that it's time that I have had redemption about that presentation, because I kid you not, it was, 13 years ago at this point, and I still think about it regularly, and I get that embarrassment, that cringy feeling, where I'm just like, oh man, I wish I could have done it better. So I'm giving myself that opportunity to do it better. It's not going to be 10 minutes, I'll tell you that much, but what it will be is hopefully a lot more fun, because I feel like I was so nervous in the moment when I was doing that presentation that I won't even say the charisma. I guess that's charisma. I did not have the charisma or the personality that I do now. And I think, I mean, I don't know. I just think I can do it better now. I've had 11 years to ruminate on this. I better do it better. So I don't have the presentation, but what I can say is that it was about the Nancy Drew game series by Her Interactive. In our lives, we all have people that we look up to. There are people that we learn a lot from. There are people who just mean a lot to us. But in my life, there's one person in particular who inspired a lot of my interests, my hobbies, and have just really taught me a lot about a ton of different topics. International topics, cultural topics, different ways to get my brain thinking. And in my case, that person isn't even a person. They're kind of an idea, I guess. And their name is Nancy Drew. Nancy Drew is a super sleuth from the book series penned by Carolyn Keene, which I'm pretty sure is a pseudonym at this point. Her goal in all of her books is to go out, she gets a mystery, she finds the clues, and she figures out who did it. Sometimes, almost all the time, she does get herself in some trouble, but with the help of her friends that she meets along the way, she can get out of it, and she gets the guy at the end. The guy in this case is the culprit. They go to jail. I believe the books were originally published in 1930. How do you keep an iconic character from 1930 relevant in today's time? Sometimes you turn to other forms of media, albeit movies or TV, which Nancy Drew has appeared in both of those, but she's also appeared in video games. Her Interactive is a game development company that deals with a lot of point-and-click adventure games, and they found a lot of success in publishing Nancy Drew games. The earliest of these games released in 1998, but it is still a series that is going strong now, despite its tumultuous history. These are games that I've been playing with my family, my sisters, my mom. I remember the first time we played the game, we played Message in a Haunted Mansion, which is actually the third game in the series. We were on a family trip for 2 months in Portugal, and during the downtime, my sister had actually brought her laptop, which at the time was kind of like a crazy thing that you could bring a computer anywhere. And for our down days, we actually played through Message of the Haunted Mansion, the three of us. And that game was fantastic because it taught you puzzle solving. And I mean, at the time, I believe I was 8 years old. My older sister was 14. So we played the game together. And it was all about looking around for clues and listening to people as they talk to you and asking them questions to try and piece together what the mystery was as you were exploring and finding things and clues and puzzles to solve along the way to ultimately come up with the culprit and stop them. Now, this game did have an educational aspect to it. In this one in particular, you're learning a lot about San Francisco in the, I want to say, 20s and 30s, but you're also learning a lot about Japanese culture, specifically in San Francisco. Now, it's worth saying that these games came at a time where it was really important to have video games for women and girls. I mean, you're talking about the early 2000s at this point, or the late 90s, and a lot of the times, there really weren't games for girls. And I'm not saying that girls can't play other games or guys can't play this game. They absolutely can. But you're also talking about a time where it wasn't really the norm. There was definitely still gender norms in gaming, and it hadn't quite developed at all at that point. So really, we're talking about video games for girls of all ages. Your options were kind of Barbie horse adventures or Mahjong, so, or different puzzle games. They really weren't advertising the other games for girls, but this was probably one of the best games that I ever played as a child, and not just Message in a Haunted Mansion, but all Nancy Drew games as a whole. Playing these games pretty much made me the gamer that I am now, and not even the gamer that I am now, the person that I am now. These games made me realize how much I love to think, and how much I love puzzles, and how much I just love solving a problem. And you wouldn't believe it, but those aspects are things that I do in my day-to-day life as a graphic designer. My job as a graphic designer is quite literally to solve problems, albeit in a visual way. And I think that it's not that if I didn't play these games, I wouldn't have thought that way, but playing these Nancy Drew games are really, truly what helped my brain mold that way and helped me hone those skills so I could eventually do it professionally. And I'm not a sleuth or a detective or anything like that, but I would say that some of those problem-solving things that it comes to tracking down information and finding your clues is absolutely relevant even if you're not a sleuth. I cannot tell you how many times a day I have to go track down information and I have to use those people and talking skills, kind of like how Nancy Drew displays them in her own games. Now, as the series expanded, there are a ton more games. I can talk about all of them for hours if I really wanted to and if the time allowed. But if you will allow me, I would like to talk about one of my absolute favorite games, Warnings at Waverly Academy. In this game, Nancy Drew is undercover as a student named Becca Sawyer, and she is trying to figure out who is sending these threats to the other students. Now, this is an all-girls school, and sort of kind of like the cheeky little fun message that they send at the beginning of the game when you're trying to figure out what the mystery is even about is that she doesn't know what's scarier, the mystery and the death threats, or being in a closed school with a bunch of teenage girls. And I can kind of see where she's coming from, because these girls are, they're intense. All of the people that you interact with in this game are valedictorian candidates. So they are smart, they are skilled, they have a bunch of academic achievements, and they are thirsty for the title of valedictorian. You don't know what any of them are willing to do to actually get that title. And it's our suspicion that one of these valedictorian candidates are threatening the lives of her competitors. Now, what do these threats look like? So, the idea is that you get a piece of paper slipped under your door by somebody calling themselves the Black Cat. You find out later that the Black Cat is actually in reference to the Edgar Allan Poe books, and there are a lot of other Edgar Allan Poe references and puzzles later on in the game. As these Nancy Drew games tend to be edutational, the educational factor of Warnings at Waverly Academy is the stories of Edgar Allan Poe, as well as a couple of other things. You actually learn a little bit about etiquette in this game, specifically about like your silverware etiquette. It's one of the puzzles that you face, as well as a little bit of chemistry and like the ultimate basics of web design. And all of these things are shown to you in ways that are puzzles to get you thinking. This game has impeccable academia vibes. It does take place at a boarding school. There is a secret society. It is fantastic storytelling, and it is absolutely one of my favorite games of all time. And this tends to be one that I do play repeatedly. With a catalog of 33 games and number 34 in progress, there's absolutely a story here for everyone. Whether you're super into horses and ranch life and want to play Secret of Shadow Ranch, you really like horror and Japanese culture, you can play Shadow at the Water's Edge. Heck, even if you're a Greek mythology girly, Labyrinth of Lies has you covered. And all of those games I highly recommend. So with Nancy Drew quickly approaching her 95th birthday at the end of this month, I just want to say thank you to her creators for inspiring people of all ages to solve problems, mysteries, puzzles, and honestly just enjoy a good mystery. And with nearly 100 years of mysterious content, it really is no mystery why she's such an inspirational figure. Thank you! See, that's all I had to do. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to just list out the games and like the synopsises. That was it. That really, like, maybe that was a little bit more than 10 minutes. I don't even know at this point. But like, you know, I could have done it. I truly, truly think that that was a redeeming presentation. And I am so, I feel so much relief now. I know that nobody in the class is going to hear that. I can't get graded again. But you know what? I know in my heart of hearts that that was 100% A+. You tell me. I mean, don't tell me if you think otherwise. Presentation aside, there is one more thing about Nancy Drew that I would like to talk about, and it's kind of the fascinating past year that the Nancy Drew community has had. So the history of the Nancy Drew games, I kind of touched a little bit on it in my presentation, But basically, the company was founded in 1995. The game started coming out in 1998. Starting in 2001, the game started coming out twice a year. One in the spring, one in the fall. And they kept that momentum all the way through 2014. That is 13 years of consistency with this game company. It is unheard of to have a company release two games a year for that long. That's insanity, and that is honestly incredible that they've managed to do it for that long. Unfortunately, in 2015, that pattern stopped. They released Sea of Darkness in May of 2015 and expected to release Midnight in Salem in 2015, that fall. However, 2015 fall came and went, and Midnight in Salem had not released. They had faced a lot of technical and production setbacks. I believe there was like a layoff, and then they wound up rebuilding the whole game in Unity, and then they also outsourced the game. But the game that they got back didn't have enough puzzles, and they just weren't happy with the quality, so they kept going to the drawing board and ultimately ran out of time and just needed to release what they had. Unfortunately, at that point, it had already been 4 years. You had 4 years of anticipation building up to be the next amazing game that followed Sea of Darkness, which itself was an amazing game. But unfortunately, the fans, Midnight in Salem disappointed. It didn't have enough puzzles. While the graphics were impressive, there wasn't the polish that we're used to in the games. There were lots of glitches. There were missing textures. Missing models as well. Like in the kitchen, I don't have a visual of this, but the curtains were missing in one of the windows, but they were showing in another. So it was just a lot of inconsistency that people weren't happy with. Unfortunately, with all the negativity, we didn't foresee them coming out with another game. We thought that Midnight in Salem was the final straw and that was going to be it. I believe a lot of the early games, probably up to Midnight in Salem or Sea of Darkness even, were entirely funded or mostly funded through a donation of a very, very generous person who just wanted to see these games thrive. I don't think that's the case anymore, so funding became a problem, which likely is a reason why we haven't had a game since. It was 4 years since between Sea of Darkness and Midnight in Salem, and at this point in 2024, we're sitting at 5 years between games at this point. However, Midnight in Salem is not the last game in the line. I did mention in my presentation that they are working on game 34, which is exhilarating. So last year on April Fool's Day, they started teasing new things on social media. They had put out a newsletter that had a hidden code in it when you highlighted the text. And they started releasing puzzles and they wiped everything on Instagram to put out new images. Basically have a fresh slate. As you can imagine, having a whole fan base dedicated to solving mysteries and clues and puzzles, this was very intriguing to a lot of us. It brought back a lot of people who left after Midnight in Salem, or maybe left even earlier, and were curious about what was going on. We were hopeful that we'd get more information by Nancy Drew's birthday on April 28th, but we were mostly met with more puzzles. And we got a lot of puzzles through the summer. Around June, all the puzzles came to an end, releasing the name of the next game, Mystery of the Seven Keys. Now, to the disappointment of many, now again, you don't build a community for games like this without having a couple of sleuths who will look into a lot more than you anticipate. So a couple of those sleuths on the Reddit noticed that Her Interactive had put out more patents and trademarks for names of games. In December, they did notice that the name Mystery of the Seven Keys was trademarked. The way that trademark laws work, you have to have an actual use for that name and make it public within 6 months, or else you have to extend the trademark. Which I think you have to extend it anyway, but there's a chance it could have been denied or picked up by somebody else. So, at that six-month timeline, that's when they ultimately announced the name, but of course we had already known it. But then the puzzles all went silent. Now every once in a while they'll post a newsletter, every once in a while they'll post some sort of trailer or teaser talking about a mini game, or they released that it was going to happen in Austria, which we also guessed, and kind of releasing like character bios and character art references and stuff like that. Basically teasing the game, trying to keep the hype alive, but I don't think that there's anything that kept the hype as alive as it was as when they were posting those puzzles. That's really when they got a lot of the interaction. But unfortunately, they definitely started teasing the game way too early, because now we're a whole year later and a lot of us have fallen off again. A lot of us have lost interest, because you can't throw puzzles at us and say, "Ooh, something good is coming," and then only give us a breadcrumb. Not that anybody on the Her Interactive social media team is going to hear this at all, but if they did, and if you're listening, if we get another ARG puzzle, you better give us the release date, because we need to know when this thing is coming out. We can't wait another 5 years like we did Midnight in Salem. You absolutely teased it way too soon, because the hype has died down. You had all that hype, you had all of that momentum, and then just lost it. And it's so frustrating as a fan, because we want to be excited for it. We absolutely want to be excited for it. We want to play the game. But it would have been so satisfying to have that 6 months of puzzles, and maybe month 7 or 8 or 9 have the game. Even if we didn't have the game, if we knew the game was going to be coming out, I think that that would have been so successful, because then you're also having the high of people saying like, "Hey, the game's coming back. Like, we know for sure." But right now, when all we have is cover art and the name, it's not set in stone. We had that stuff for Midnight in Salem as well. So it's just, it's concerning. I think in order to get the trust back of the community, like, we really need to know that this thing is happening. And again, I know that they're not listening, but I guess this is more just a Alexa needs to rant, because I want more Nancy Drew games. But of course, I can always go replay another one, so, and I might just do that. The funny thing also about Nancy Drew games is that you find people who are fans of these games in the most wild places. Like, I remember growing up and being like, "Oh, nobody knows what these games are." And then you find random people who are like, "Oh no, I love those games. I played those games." Like, it's such like a universal experience that I never noticed. And if you're also one who shares this experience with me, who has loved these games, even if you've only played one or two but you enjoyed them, find me on social media. You can find me on Twitch at Ursula's Revenge. You can find me on YouTube at Ursula's Revenge. I mean, that's pretty much all I'm active on right now. But yeah, I would love to talk to you about them. And I want to know. I want to know your thoughts and your theories about Game 34. Do you think we're going to get it this year? Apparently it's been confirmed to come out this year, but I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this long rambling session about Nancy Drew games. I hope you enjoyed it. I have proved to myself once again that I could talk about this for a very, very long time. You know what? I hope I was at least a little bit more interesting this time. Well, that's the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I guess all that's left to say is fuck Booster Gold. Bye! I ain't the kind who wear a tie, but I'm not from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says the work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.